You're listening to KTNA Talkeetna, and now for Nuggets, a locally produced program focusing on the northern Susitna Valley, created by your friends and neighbors at Pothole Productions and Talkeetna Community Radio. From comic relief to serious beliefs, each week brings you a fresh nugget. I'm Holly Stinson, and today I'm visiting with Johnny Baker, also known as Trapper John, who has been connected with Talkeetna since the early 60s, but first came to Alaska in the mid-50s. In this nugget, we'll hear about his early years. Can you tell us where you grew up and then what brought you up to Alaska and when you came up to Alaska?
Oh, I was born in the Depression, 1933, and I lived on a farm. My folks couldn't keep me. They were just young kids, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know how that goes. And everybody was broke back then. And so I lived with my grandfolks' parents on a farm. And
What state was that in?
This was in Michigan.
Uh-huh.
It was the northern part of the Lower Peninsula. It was near Beaver Lake. And Beaver Lake is about 250 miles north of Detroit. Mostly
okay.
On the east side of the state.
Okay.
And my family at that time was my grandma, my grandpa, and their two youngest sons. They were in, the youngest one was in his teens to early 20s, and they were like my older brothers.
Mm-hmm.
That was my family. But that all changed when my grandmother died.
Oh.
And she died when I was 6. And by that time, my mom and dad had enough together that they could take me, and I didn't want to go. That wasn't my family.
Your family was the family you knew that you lived with.
Absolutely.
And your older brothers.
Yep.
Like older brothers.
Yep,
yeah.
They were. And they promised that I could have my own room and a bathtub. And there was lots of promises, and they didn't mean nothing to me. I didn't want
to go. Oh.
But that was, there was no woman in the house to take care of me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my older cousins, I was in school at that time. She was in the 8th grade.
Oh.
And so she would stay at our place and did the cooking and took care of me.
Oh.
And she was in the 8th grade.
Wow.
And I only mention some of these things to tell you, show you the difference. The way some people was raised and they worked and knew how to do these things.
In 8th grade, she took on the role of the housewife. She did the cooking and cleaning.
She took care of me, and she did some of the cooking for my two older brothers and their dad.
Mm-hmm.
And but after that school year was out, and I had to move to town with my parents.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, that went as well as it could. like all parents, you know, they don't have any experience at this either.
Mm-hmm.
They do the best they can. And so, absolutely no regrets. But I went back to the farm every chance I got. I basically had more than one family most of my life. So, anyway, I had a rural background and a rural interest, and I always had that connection. So, wanting to move to either Alaska or Canada had quite a draw for me. And I worked both on the farm and for my dad. My dad had a shop, a sheet metal shop. And so I sort of apprenticed into that, as well as a lot of other things. And I wanted to have enough money to come to Alaska. I wanted everything paid for. I waited till I had a 50 Buick, and it was in top shape. And I had a brand new motorcycle, a little one. It was the smallest one that Triumph made. And I took the back seat out of the Buick and put it on car carriers up on top. And I could just wedge that little motorcycle in
the back seat. Creative packing.
Right. And I had a chainsaw, I had guns, I had no idea what I was going to run into. But if the car broke down or got stuck, I had the motorcycle. So, and I wasn't adventurous some enough to come on a shoestring like Wally Hickel or the successful one today. I wanted my insurance. I wanted some insurance that I could pull this off. And so in 1956, me and my 50 Buick started out on the Alaskan dream.
John Baker and his 1950 Buick started out on their Alaskan dream. You're listening to Nuggets on KTNA. We're talking with Johnny Baker today, also known as Trapper John. And now let's hear Trapper John tell of his first job in Alaska.
I basically came up and worked for room and board at Sheep Mountain Lodge.
That's the one over on the Glen Highway?
Yes, it's on the Glen Highway.
The other side of Palmer and Chickaloon,
yeah,
and out.
I forget what mile it is. It's about mile 92 or 102 or something. Mm. But the buildings that are there today aren't the ones that was there. Mm. That lodge was a big log lodge. And these lodges all had generators. And consequently, fire was always a big hazard and danger. And if the generator room didn't burn down, then the lodge did. And so sometime after I left, the whole works burnt down.
Oh.
And so anyway, that's all been rebuilt.
And how long were you there? Was it, did you just, you were driving in and came upon a lodge and so?
Actually, I was looking for work and there was no work. And so I could have done anything, but I could have even turned around and went back to Michigan. But I got a room and board, and they said they couldn't pay me much, and which was fine. I didn't expect too much. But after a month, I asked them, when they said they didn't couldn't pay me too much, I just asked them just what they had in mind. And they couldn't remember anything like that.
Oh.
So, anyway, I think they needed some generator parts, something. They sent me to Anchorage. But anyway, I got down there and I started it. I had one name, Les Warnberg, and I stopped by Les Warnberg's place, and I asked, got talking to him, told him who I was and where I came from, and what kind of experience I had had. And I said, well, sheet metal, and I did some roofing. We put on a copper roof. Well, they said, you know, there's a roofing place right across the street here. That was American Roofing. That was owned by Tom Gordon and Mrs. Gordon.
Somebody
Ann.
Else.
Her name was Ann Bandola. They owned the American Roofing. And so I stopped in there and told them who I was, and Les sent me over. And they asked me, well, what kind of experience you got? And they put on hot tar roofs. They build up roofs, hot tar. And I said, well, I spent a year and a half putting a copper roof on a church. They said, well, we just don't do much copper roofs. And so he said, well, I'll tell you, I can use a guy in my roofing crew right now. I said, well, I can't do it right today. He said, well, you know, I can fill this job anytime. I said, yep, I expect you can, but I just can't start today. And he said, well, suit yourself. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, I gotta go back to Sheep Mountain. And what time do you start in the morning? He says, 7 o'clock. I said, I'll be here at 7 o'clock. If the job's gone, fine, that's all right, but I'll be here. I went back to Sheep Mountain and packed up. I had to put the motorcycle in the back
in the back seat.
So anyway, that's was when I started working in Anchorage. And I worked in Anchorage all that summer for American Roofing. And I went back out to Michigan for deer season.
That's an important trip to make.
And
you drove back out?
Yeah.
In the Buick?
In the Buick.
With the motorcycle?
Yeah, with the motorcycle. And so I worked for 2 more years for my dad, and I knew housing was a premium up here. And I hadn't run into any sawmills. There was nobody doing that kind of work, or very few. Not around any place I saw. So I bought a brand new truck, a 2.5-ton truck, and I put a house on it. A full 2-bedroom house. and started back up the, well, and I'll tell you.
Now, was this house put together?
Oh, no.
It was all the materials.
It was all the material. It was a prefab.
Oh.
It was a prefab. And the walls were in sections, and the windows were all in the walls. The doors were into that particular section of the wall. It was a prefab white cedar house, and the whole darn thing weighed 30,000 pounds. And well, anyway, that whole thing was quite a trip, and trying to get it insured, nobody wanted to insure it, and it became obvious why they didn't. I'll tell you. But anyway, finally, this one insurance company that my dad dealt with, they said, we'll insure it, but don't ever do it again. And I really almost lost that whole thing 2 or 3 times.
So it's loaded on this truck,
yeah.
This big truck.
Big truck.
And it's these panels, and and you've got a tarp. I'm trying to picture this.
It's all tarp, and there's a motorcycle right on top.
Never leave home without your motorcycle.
Not leaving home without that.
And you were driving it up before any of it was paved, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, it was all gravel.
Oh, my word.
Or dirt, or...
Oh, my word. Yes, and if you ever hit it during the rain, it was really bad.
You're listening to Nuggets on KTNA. I'm Holly Stinson, visiting today with John Baker. And now let's rejoin Trapper John on his second trip up the Alcan, loaded down with a prefab house.
I weighed 30,000 pounds, but I got into some rain up near White Court. That clay is so slippery. My windshield was so splattered, I could not finally see to stay on the road. And I didn't dare get off the crown. And finally, I couldn't see. I had to stop. I pulled off just off the crown, just a whisker. Cleaned my windshield and tried to come back. And the minute I started, it started to slip sideways. I put it in a reverse, started to slip sideways. I can't go. Here I am.
You're stuck. I mean, you're...
Yeah, I can't move the truck. If I do, it's going to go sideways.
Mm-hmm.
And by that time, I've been having trouble with my throw-out bearing. My clutch wasn't working right. And so I got a ride into actually a mechanic shop down the road. It wasn't too far. And they brought a wrecker up and they towed me into their place. And while there, they had to put in a new throwout bearing. So I was there for a few days. But I had a lot of experiences on that trip.
I can only imagine. 30,000 pounds, that's like 15 tons.
Yeah. and the road was bad, and the truck was overloaded for that, you know,
for such to say the least.
Oh yeah, and when you talk about the road not being too good, there were, I got to the Peace River, and when I'd been across that Peace River a couple of years earlier, it was the biggest bridge on the Alcan, or between north of Edmonton. It had gone out in the period since I'd been there. And I pulled a truck up, and I just looked at this thing. And I mean, it was a temporary thing, and the Peace River is it's a big river.
It's a big river.
It's a long ways across this thing. Well, I looked at that, and I just parked the truck. I said, you know, I don't know if a car can go across that thing. So I sat there. I wasn't going to go until I seen something else go across there. Mm-hmm. Finally, a truck came across from the other way. And he looked like he was at least as big as I was. And you're only talking about a one lane. It's one lane, and it's just timbered, and it's.
Are there sides on it?
No, there was nothing on it. But I seen he come across it. I thought, well, here I am up in the middle of Canada. What am I going to do?
What choice do you have? Go across or turn around?
I went across. And it must have been safe. But anyway, well, that whole darn trip was nothing but a series of that. Well, anyway... Well, the whole idea, I wanted to sell both the truck and the house when I got up here. And I advertised it, and I did everything that some young kid's going to do, you know. And nobody wanted to give me enough to even pay my expenses, you know. And I couldn't do anything with the truck until I unloaded the house.
The house. You were stuck with that truck until you got rid of the house.
But I had the motorcycle. I swear it rained every day of that summer. So anyway, I didn't know what to do. So I wrote to my dad. I said, I need some more money. So He lent me $2,000, and with that, I bought a lot in Anchorage. Actually, it was out in Spinard. There was no flooring with that. Well, actually, there was a tile floor, but there was no. I had to build whatever you're going to set the house on, and it turned out. The carpenters were on strike that summer. It was a perfect deal. There was an old guy I run into. And he said, well, I'm just sitting around. Let's build that thing. Heck, he was just having fun. So we put, he did it all, or basically. I would just help her. And we made a foundation out of temporary wood and stuff. But he needed a place to live, too. He didn't have one. He didn't have a place to live either. So when he helped me build this, then we both had a place.
Yeah.
But anyway, that went up pretty fast, because there was a neighbor there going to work that I was talking to afterwards, and he was saying, he said, you know, he says, I was going to work, and I told my friend, he says, looks like somebody's starting to build a house on that lawn. He says, we came back from work. He said, for Christ's sakes, it's done. The whole thing went up fast. The walls were all insulated. They were finished inside and out and insulated. And so old Clarence and I had a place to stay then. That was my second trip up here.
And so once you got the house up and you were living in it, then what was your next move? Or your next step? Look for a job again?
My next
or?
Move was to try to get work and pay my dad. So that fall, there was no work to be had up here. I think the only place I didn't really try was the Alaska Railroad. I should have went down there. They were probably the biggest, most stable employer in the state, except the military, of course. Mm-hmm. See, I tried the bases, I tried most everything. And so that fall, I bought a 48 Pontiac, and Clarence and I drove back out. I had dropped him off in Wisconsin. He was from Wisconsin. And in order to take that old car through Canada, I had to bond it. They didn't think it was going to make it. And so they didn't want it left in Canada without paying a duty or something on it.
Hmm.
So I had to buy a bond at the
at the border?
At the border before they'd let me through. But anyway, that was a trip too. And then I continued on down to Michigan and in time for deer season. Of course, after deer season, if my dad was going to get paid, he had to give me a job. So I worked that winter, and then to come back up, I bought a really pretty 57 Dodge.
I'm Holly Stinson, and I'd like to thank Johnny Baker for sharing his memories with us today. In a future nugget, we'll hear part two, trapping in the Kahiltna area, starting out with his third trip to Alaska. You've been listening to Nuggets, a locally produced program focusing on the Northern Susitna Valley. Do you have a nugget you'd like to share? If you would like to host a show, be a guest on this program, or get involved in some other way, please call the station at 733-1700. You may also contact us through the website at ktna.org, where you will find archived Nuggets programs. You're listening to KTNA Talkeetna.